Good morning and welcome to Focus on Health, our weekly program where we talk about all the great things happening at Van Deest Medical Center. I'm Lori Foster, I'll be your guest, and I want to thank you for tuning in with us today. We are going to be talking about needle desensitization therapy on our program today. And this is a great topic to be talking about. We have one of our behavioral health therapists with us today, Anthony Wubin. But before we do get into our subject, I do have some announcements I'd like to make on behalf of the hospital. Today is National Doctors Day. So today and truly every day, we are grateful for the compassion and care provided by each physician and healthcare professional, not only at Van Deest Medical Center, but throughout our communities. On behalf of our hospital, thank you to all of the healthcare professionals for all that you do and all the ways you care. The month of April, which is upon us at the end of this week already, is National Donate Life Month. And we are kicking off the month with a flag raising at our hospital on the 1st, on Friday, at 10 in the morning. We want to raise awareness for the importance of organ, eye, and tissue donation. You will also see staff members throughout the month wearing Donate Life apparel to also help raise awareness for the cause. I've got a couple of congratulations that I'd like to extend to staff members. One, congratulations to our Chief Financial Officer, Alice Heinrichs, who is retiring after 30 years of service to our hospital. Also, I would like to congratulate Diana Patterson, who is also retiring after 30 years of service as a registered nurse, caring for patients on our med-surg or our inpatient floor. Thank you to both Alice and Diana for their combined 60 years at our hospital. We do have our SALT meeting coming up. That is an acronym for Seniors and Law Enforcement Together. It is going to be next Thursday, April 7th, beginning at 9 o'clock, and it will be held at the Webster City Community Theater. Things get underway at 9 o'clock. We have breakfast that's provided. We have free blood pressure checks that are done by staff from our hospital. And then we actually begin the meeting at 9:30, and we will have announcements from law enforcement and area agency officials, and then upcoming events that are happening throughout Hamilton County. Following that, we will start into our program. The program will feature Pat Palmer, the computer guy. So join as Pat gives us the ins and outs of scams, fake news, and being able to tell fact from fiction online or over the phone. So a very good topic to be covering. These SALT meetings are free. They're open to the public. We hold them every other month at different locations throughout Hamilton County, and we certainly encourage your attendance. Again, the SALT meeting will be taking place a week from tomorrow, next Thursday, April 7th, at the Webster City Community Theater. We also have another retirement that I would like to share. Visiting specialist Dr. Scallon is retiring after seeing patients for over 31 years at our hospital. He is an ophthalmologist with Wolf Eye Clinic, and we're doing a card shower for him. So if you'd like to send a card, you can address that to Van Deest Medical Center in care of Dr. Scallon here in Webster City, and we will be collecting those cards through Friday, April 8th. Dr. Steven Anderson with Wolf Eye Clinic will begin seeing patients in May at our hospital. And lastly, we do have some terrific scholarship opportunities. We have four $500 scholarships for second-year nursing students with Iowa Central Community College. And for those individuals who are interested in pursuing a career in healthcare, our hospital auxiliary is offering three $1,000 scholarships. Application information can be found on our website. You go to www.vandeestmc.org. The information is there, and those deadlines are fast approaching. I can tell you the one that is for our second-year nursing students that's offered by the Sahai Family Foundation, that deadline is actually tomorrow, March 31st, and the deadline for the auxiliary application is April 15th. So So check out the information by going to our website. And with that, I think we are ready to start into our program. So as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, we are going to be talking about a therapy used for specific phobias. In particular, today we're going to be talking about the fear of needles and needle injections, and then how this therapy is successfully helping individuals overcome their fears and accomplish needed shots and vaccinations. So joining us today, it is my pleasure and privilege to introduce one of our behavioral health therapists, licensed master social worker, Anthony Wubin.
Good morning, Lori, and it's a privilege being here today, being that we're one more day to end this month, and this month is social worker month. So it's a privilege being on the air today, too.
So glad to have you, and congratulations. Thank you for being here today, Anthony. You know, let's, as we start into this topic, I guess I do want to share with listeners that this is not a new therapy. However, it is one that we have recently introduced at Van Deest Family Health Clinic. And we are seeing successful cases when using this therapy to overcome the fear of needles. So maybe start by giving us a little bit of background about needle and injection phobia and possibly other phobias in which this therapy really has been extremely helpful.
Definitely. So as far as from therapist perspective, we follow what's called the DSM-5, which essentially is a giant document that houses several different conditions of any form of mental health concerns that one might be diagnosed with. And one of those is specific phobia. And under that, there are so many different characteristics. Like you mentioned, today's focus is on needle injection, but there are so many others. Maybe there's a fear of animals. Maybe it's spiders or insects, dogs, snakes. Maybe it's something in the natural environment. Maybe we're afraid of heights or, a terrible storm coming in or large bodies of water. There could be blood injection injury. So here, this is kind of where the needles kind of come into play there. But maybe it's also, receiving blood or some type of infusion or transfusion that someone might receive, or it's medical care itself. And then there's some situational diagnoses of maybe it's an airplane, if we have some fears there, or riding in an elevator or another enclosed space. And then there's some other ones like choking or maybe loud sounds or costume animals, like a clown or something like that. So all of those are different types of phobias, specific phobias, that one may encounter and would like to kind of address and kind of see what we can kind of work through that. So here at Van Deest Family Health Clinic, we've kind of embarked on this journey of kind of figuring out what needle desensitization therapy might look like, because we do have several patients who come in with a fear of needles, and maybe that's preventing them from seeking overall medical care. Maybe that's why they're not coming into a clinic setting or the hospital setting, because of that fear of getting an IV or getting an HPV vaccine or their COVID vaccine per se. So with our most recent nationwide push of COVID vaccinations, it's really urged us to start thinking more about what can we do to help all of our patients, including those who might be avoiding getting their COVID vaccine because of a fear of needles. So that's truly where this therapy kind of fruitioned, if you want to so say, for us here at Van Deest Family Health Clinic to try to aid our patients. And as far as aiding our patients, it's a series of therapy sessions. And for the most part, we're able to do it in about 5 therapy sessions, focusing on different aspects at each therapy session. And as a result of it, with the patient's goal in mind of trying to obtain their vaccination, whatever vaccination it might be, trying to obtain that within that 5-week period. And we actually, I would say holistically as a whole team, we work together networking. I ask the patient to kind of come up with, what does this plan look like? What would you like to see? Who's in the room? What are we doing? Where is everyone seated? So it's truly rooted at the choice of the patient. So instead of, as healthcare professionals, we often have the control of the environment, and what's going on. And it truly takes all that choice and control and puts it in the hands of our patient. The patient, I ask them, you know, draw up what that plan looks like. We do a lot of role play where maybe I act as the nurse or they act as the nurse and go through each step along the way for receiving that vaccination. And what I've found is patients who participate in those type of activities tend to build more self-confidence, especially once we get the health team members, which there are some patients who are saying, you know, I'd really like this nurse. I like this nurse. Or this one is a long-distance friend of mine. I'd really like that one to be in the room with me. And then I have them write up the script. Okay, what does that look like? What do they say? What does the nurse say? How does the nurse enter? Of course, we have to get some form of consent. So if it is a minor, we're getting that consent from a parent. And maybe that's something we do beforehand or during the therapy session. But we obtain that consent. Then we move forward. Maybe I've had one where the patient did not want the nurse to say anything and simply come in, get that consent, give the vaccination, and leave the room. And that's totally fine. I've had others that are wanting to socialize during it, wanting to know what is going on step by step. So it ultimately gives all that power and control over to our patient, which really enables a huge transformation. One of the most recent successful cases that I've had was a patient who came in for a vaccination, not COVID, but came in for just a general routine vaccination. We worked on getting to the point of being able to tolerate that experience. We went through the whole 5 therapy sessions. And then at the 5th therapy session, had invited a family member in to participate. We did a quick comprehensive review of everything that we had done. And then the patient's script that they had played out, we followed through that. We actually practiced it once, and then we actually performed it with the nurse coming in and everything. And then after the therapy session, the patient had shared how easy it was for them to do that because of the exposure and because of us taking the time and walking through that and giving that patient the power of choice, really, giving the patient that control. And it actually turned out to be that patient who had come in for that routine vaccination had also had a long-term goal of getting both their COVID vaccinations. And turns out after that therapy session where they received their routine vaccine, they actually went and scheduled their COVID vaccination at an external location. So leaving that controlled environment of the therapy session to go out in the community to receive that vaccine, which I think speaks largely about this program and just building that individual confidence.
Absolutely it is. And just like you say, it really is the patient that's leading that, kind of has control over the environment, maybe over the unknown and uncertainty that caused the phobia.
Right.
We're talking, like you said, about needle desensitization, but you covered so many different phobias that this therapy can really help with. I mean, do you find or do you think that people have these because of a previous experience or?
Yep.
Or what is it?
So when we kind of think of adverse childhood experiences, right, that's kind of where we can scope out traumas in one's past. Those may be things for us to consider. Oftentimes I'll ask the patient what some of their experiences are in previous vaccinations, which some of the first vaccinations that we get, we are 3, 4, 5, right?
Or too young to even remember.
Mm-hmm. 100%. You are correct there. So, but the ones that we do remember, maybe there's a traumatic event that happened there. Or maybe we were older. We had a vaccination in middle school and how that experience went can shape us. Or maybe it's something in high school that we received. Truly, this is meant for all ages. I don't think that there's an age that we couldn't work with someone on it. Obviously, some ability to comprehend or work with us in some type of a therapy session would be appropriate. But I would say at least 4 and older that we can definitely work with to provide this therapy service.
That is perfect. And actually, I want to go right into that, Anthony. And I know we're going to be talking more about kind of what the therapy sessions look like. You've touched on it briefly. But we know that 1 out of 10 people have this fear of needle sticks or injections. So who is appropriate or who can receive this therapy?
Yeah, definitely. So by all means, anyone four and older or has the capability to be able to participate in a fruitful conversation. So, of course, we're needing some type of vaccination, regardless of what vaccination it is. It can be any type of vaccination. They can it can be just the individual, or they can have a safety support person. Maybe that's a parent, maybe that's a friend, a grandparent, or a colleague. And then this is something that, for reasonable circumstances, we're not able to do virtually. So it would be something that we would have to do in office visits only. So, and then with the underlying condition of some type of fear of that injection, other than that, anyone would be a good candidate for this type of program.
Perfect. And what I love about this therapy that's provided is, you know, the patient is guided through it, and it really does turn into, you know, this empowering event. Like you said, you had a patient then could leave what was really the original and controlled environment in our clinic and go elsewhere and receive COVID vaccinations. You know, for a lot of the shots that kids receive, we know there are other tactics and kind of those common practices that are used to, well, essentially kind of bribe kids and make them get in to get their shots and vaccinations.
Right.
But this is much better, a much better approach to utilize than a lot of those practices that we know.
Definitely. And you'd mentioned some of those prior practices. So bribery is one of them,
yes.
Right? Maybe we're saying, hey, if you do this, I'll buy you a soda or an ice cream, or, hey, I'll give you $5 if you just let them do it. Right. But it can also be some type of begging. Maybe there's intimidation, saying, no, you will get this vaccine. We're taking away that power and control that child, or it could be even an adult, is receiving. Maybe there's some physical to it, or that we're forcing if we're holding them down, kind of restraining type of move. Those are all types of things that unfortunately occur, but knowing that there's the needle desensitization therapy can kind of help us avoid those aspects as well.
Right, and the way I look at it is the earlier that someone can overcome that fear, hopefully then, you know, throughout their lifetime, you know, they're
right.
able to just move forward with it, as opposed to some of those practices that really never allow them to outgrow that
right.
fear.
You're right. You're 100% there. Because truly, when we do walk through those, the five therapy sessions, as I'd previously mentioned, the first one is really a meet and greet, right? It's us doing an intake assessment, us kind of talking through a little bit about me as a therapist, or a colleague, whomever you see as your therapist. Getting all the knit and dirty, down and dirty questions about everything about you as the patient, and then kind of focusing in on, okay, what are our concerns, what brings us to therapy, and what are our goals? As a therapist, I could sit there and write a patient's goals, but truly, if it's not myself and the patient working together, understanding collectively what our goals are, it's hard for both of us to reach, because your goal might be different than how I perceive it. So that's why I feel like there's a lot of value there just in that first therapy session. And then we jump into coping skills, right? Coping skills are things that we often don't think about on our day-to-day basis, and we just use them when we think that we need them, which actually I'm a firm believer that in order for us to use coping skills, it's got to be healthy, good for me, good for you, good for everyone else in the environment, and it's got to be effective. It's got to work. And we know that it works when we practice them. So these are all things that we focus on during therapy sessions. And I spend a specific therapy session during the needle desensitization therapy sessions, just focusing on those coping skills, because it truly is the foundation for us to be able to rely back on when things are getting rough for us or when we just need to practice them.
Right. And it might not be just like in this particular situation, but
right.
gosh, anytime that we're needing to cope with a difficult situation.
Right, right. Like you mentioned, the lifelong mm-hmm. You know, education that really this provides for the patient.
Right.
Then we kind of jump into setting the scene. This is where the whole power and control is given to the patient for them to decide what happens, who's going to move where, what's going to go on, you know, what everyone's function and purpose is. Then we go through what's called the cognitive model. It's part of cognitive behavioral therapy, reframing the way that we think about things. And we spend the therapy sessions kind of one therapy session looking at the cognitive distortions that one might have, working to reframe those. And then the next therapy session, we're role playing, right? And we might even start role playing during that last one, but role playing it where the patient plays each participant in the room. Then I'll play each participant in the room, setting up the room the way that the patient feels most comfortable. And it might mean maybe the lights are off, maybe the blind is all the way up, or the blind is all the way down, or we have a game Battleship playing, or we're playing Uno, whatever it might be. We actually make it as though this is what's happening. And then I kind of work behind the scenes with the patient script that they've provided me, getting the nursing staff, coordinating all of that. And then truly, like I mentioned, we all kind of get together on that last day, collectively go through where we're at, how things have gone, and then we execute. We go 100% according to the patient's plans. And oftentimes I'll say to the patient, if there's something that happens that you don't feel comfortable with, you need to raise your hand, or you need to tell me, or whatever it might be. We kind of have that safety that they can always rely back on too. So but they know that they are in a safe environment that they have created, and they're guiding, really. Mm-hmm. All that power is on them.
They are leading it. And that has to be such a good feeling when, you know, it is a success story with the patient, and it is a win. And when they realize themselves that they've done this, they've gone through the sessions, and they've accomplished their goal.
Right, right. And oftentimes what we'll find out is this specific phobia might be what the patient sees all the time. Maybe it's that constant fear of the needle, but truly there's some underlying anxiety. So while that specific phobia, we might address that during the therapy session, and we might get us over that hump to be able to tolerate the needle desensitization and tolerate vaccinations, we tend to find out that there's a secondary diagnosis. Maybe it's generalized anxiety or whatever it might be that the patient ends up continuing to work with therapy on. So it tends to be something else there in addition.
Very good. And as you mentioned, you do provide this therapy. We also have another behavioral health therapist, our licensed independent social worker, Jane Hoffman.
Correct.
She yep. also provides she this does. Therapy.
Yep.
So how would somebody go about either scheduling an appointment, or if they have questions, to be able to talk to somebody about this therapy? Or maybe it's just therapy in general. Maybe they're hearing this program and it's making them think of some other things that maybe do cause them some anxiety. And gosh, there's right. help here.
Definitely. So there's going to be a couple different routes here. One, if you have a fear of needles, or if you really feel like you might be a good candidate for needle desensitization therapy, talk to your provider. All of our Vandy's Family Health Clinic providers are aware of this program and have received training actually by myself on what this program can offer, so they can help get you set up and kind of walk through what those next steps look like, and then I can kind of coordinate with them as well. If we're just looking at, you know, seeing a therapist, seeing what's out there, what's available, give us a call. Our office number at Vandy's Family Health Clinic here in Webster City is 515-832-7800. And not to forget, we do have Jane Hoffman, who does go to the Fort Dodge office as well. So, and we can, as far as therapy goes, we can see patients both in person and virtually. The first therapy session does have to be in person, but thereafter we could do virtually too. So, not necessarily for needle desensitization therapy, unfortunately, but, other therapies, we are able to make that accommodation. So
I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because that is a terrific convenience to a lot of our patients, especially behavioral health patients, to take advantage of really the telehealth option that is available there. And just as you were finishing up there, Anthony, just a great kind of segue into maybe briefly touching on what other therapies and conditions that you treat as a behavioral health therapist within your practice here.
Definitely. So I often tell patients on the first therapy session that I see them is I see patients of all different ages and for all different things that we have going on. Maybe we have some underlying anxiety. Maybe we have some depression. Maybe we have some post-traumatic stress disorder, or we're some borderline personality, or whatever we might have going on. Truly, the opportunities for seeking therapy services can be anything. Could be a simple life adjustment that we've had going on, or a sudden loss of a loved one. It could truly be anything that we seek therapy services for. So
wonderful. And the one thing that we do want to stress, you know, with this program, with all of our services, is just the general awareness that these behavioral health services are available. There is help. And we provide it here in Webster City, as Anthony mentioned, in our Fort Dodge Clinic. Also, Amy Larson goes to our Stratford Clinic. We have a terrific team of behavioral health therapists here, in addition to Senior Life Solutions, which is here at Van Deese Medical Center in the hospital part. And we just want to make sure that people know and are aware that these services are available.
Definitely. And if I may throw out one more thing before we end the show today, Lori, is that our department is actually looking at expanding. We are hiring another therapist. So if you or someone else you know might be a therapist looking for employment, feel free to come and join our welcoming team. So
awesome. Great plug for the hospital. And we are. It's exciting. We're looking to expand these services, but there are other positions that are available to join our team. Again, I would direct people to our website, vandeestmc.org. We have an outstanding team here, and you definitely want to be a part of it. So check out the positions that are available. Anthony, I do want to thank you for being on the program today, always providing a wealth of information. Thank you. You do a great job with your services here. Again, you can make appointments by calling Van Deese Family Health Clinic here in Webster City at 515-832-7800.
All right. Thank you, Lori.
Thanks, Anthony. And to everybody out there, thanks again for tuning in with us. Tune in again next week on Focus on Health, where our focus is you.